Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We are going to talk about my continuous glucose monitor, why I got one, why we decided to go with the brand that we did, and how it is putting it in, what I've learned from it. So many questions that people have had on Instagram as I've talked about it a little bit, and it has just been fascinating and we've learned a lot from it. So I want to share that. But first, we are in the middle of snowpocalypse. But it's kind of, we're not to the apocalypse part yet. I feel like we're just in the snow part because we had, I don't know, Jesse, how many inches do you think came down this morning?
I think we got two.
Yeah, probably. And then now we just have this drizzle of, you said it's sleet. It kind of feels like a mixture of, it feels like freezing rain slash.
Yeah. Maybe freezing drizzle, more like
it. Yeah, because I was outside for a little while, and I was like, this just feels like it's not ice coming down. It's not rain coming down. Uh-huh. And it just, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what the next few days hold, because if this continues on, the temperatures are supposed to drop significantly, and everything might be frozen solid here, including the power lines. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We have prepped, though, for the last few days, and we are ready to hunker down with or without power. Hopefully, if it's without power, hopefully it's not any longer than a few days, because we might be going a little stir crazy. This morning, as I was washing dishes, I was thinking, so we may have ice water, and our house may feel like ice if we have no power. You know, it's, remember right, when we were in South Africa that one time and they lost their power for a few days and we took showers and it was cold when we were there. Mm-hmm. Not freezing cold, but it was, I don't know, what would you say? It was in the 40s, 50s? I think it was 40s in the mornings. But I remember, so you'd go to take a shower and it would be, you would already be cold because, you know, and then you'd go like take your clothes off as fast as possible. And then you'd like dip in this ice water and then yeah, you would get out as fast as you can and wrap up as fast as you can and like get as many layers of clothes on as you could. And that was not even, I mean, that was probably in the 40s, but I just remember the water feeling so cold. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. And you might notice that my voice, possibly, I think sometimes when you have a cold or congestion, you feel like your voice sounds worse than it is, but I think my voice sounds a little bit on the froggy side, and that is because we had a little bit of sickness at our house last week. Jesse, you and I were planning to go on an anniversary trip. It was our 23rd anniversary, and we worked out all the things so that we could be gone for about 30 hours. We were going to go about an hour and a half away. You were going to surprise me. I didn't know where we were going, where we were staying. I just knew it was something unique. And we had just really excited about it. And it was just like the week, it felt like, oh, this is great. Everything's working out, because the Kirsten and Mike had a little bit of sickness. We kept them home from school. They seemed like they were doing all better. Mm-hmm. And it's Friday night. We were like, yeah, we're on the mend. We're going to go. And then Friday night, I don't know what it was. It was like both of them were like, mom and dad are going to leave. We better do something yeah, about right, this. And so both of them got like, it was the weirdest thing. Micah all of a sudden goes, my ear hurts, my ear hurts, my mm-hmm, ear hurts. And he had had a little bit of fever for a few days and then it had gotten better. And he had said nothing about his ear. And then all of a sudden his ear started hurting. And I don't recall that he's ever done that before. And so
I don't, I think maybe once.
Well, and so immediately, like, I'm thinking, pretty sure he has an ear infection based upon, like, he just wanted to lay on the ground and like hold his ear. And then Kirsten, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, spikes 102.5 fever. and was quite sick in the middle of the night. So you and I look at each other. We're like, don't think this is going to be happening. So we took them in to the pediatrician the next morning. We usually wouldn't, I would have taken Micah in because I thought he had an ear infection, but usually Kirsten and I would be like, yeah, let's give it a few days. But because we were thinking of leaving, mm-hmm. we're like, we're going to take them both in. And then if they test negative for everything and they're doing better, maybe possibly we might consider going for a shorter amount of time or something.
Right.
We get in there and I always, I guess I was kind of raised and like, you don't go to the doctor unless you're really, really sick. So I always feel weird, like taking a child into the doctor that like, we're not bringing them in on a stretcher. And so I'm like, they're really, they weren't, I mean, they were sick, but not that sick, you know, but I'm so glad we checked them
in.
Because they both tested positive for strep. Like that was not, Kirsten had said her throat hurt a little bit, but like, I just didn't think that. And Micah had never said his throat hurt, but Micah had an ear infection and strep and he tested positive for COVID, which we're like,
how?
I don't know, but
there were no signs that he was, had anything cold related.
But anyway, so they ended up, we didn't go. We had, the weekend was completely cleared out though, because we were planning to be gone. So it worked out that we were able to just stay home for 2 full days with them. And they were better. I mean, once they got on the antibiotics, like really within 24 hours, but we didn't have them. We waited to send them back to school just because they were still coughing, had some congestion. And so they honestly, like, you know, slept on top of me. And like, then I found out that one of them had drank out of my water that then I drank out of. So I was just like, there's no way I am not getting strapped. But I have been taking a lot of herbs and vitamins and doing a lot to try to take care of myself. And so it's like, we'll see. Well, I came down with a little bit of congestion, never got a fever, but a little bit of congestion and just like head cold types of symptoms. Never got a sore throat, but I went in just to get tested because I was like, well, you know, I was so exposed to it. No, tested negative for COVID and strep. And so it just kind of feels like it's that time of year where, you know, but I'm
Silas had had something as well, like some earlier, a lot of congestion. I had some stuff and we both got tested after the kids had tested positive and we had nothing.
Yeah. So anyway, I have no idea how I did not get strep, but I'm still like, I feel like it's like, I have this, like, I'm teetering on the edge of a bit of laryngitis or something like that. But we're hunkered down at home again for another at least 2 days because everything's canceled today. Everything's canceled tomorrow. School is already canceled for David on Monday and Tuesday. I am positive that the other kids, that's going to be the case as well, but we will see. I feel like maybe by Wednesday we're going to be out and about. So I'm hoping by Wednesday I'll be back to complete normal. But I'm grateful that I was never sick enough that like I canceled everything because I felt like I was probably contagious, but I wasn't just like completely down and out kind of thing. So that was a gift. So I do kind of feel like, man, these herbs and vitamins and taking care of myself really does make a difference.
Yeah.
Cause usually when I start feeling sick, I just push through. And this time I was like, Nope. Staying home, canceling everything, resting, not going to the gym, just did walking. I mean, I only worked out twice this week and just did walking the other days and everything. Anyway, speaking of which, so continuous glucose monitor. For those who don't know what that is, I would assume that most people do, but for those who don't know, typically it's something that someone who is a diabetic is going to wear. Like that's where it started from. And it is something like, I think back in the day, if you were a diabetic, I don't know enough, but my grandpa was diabetic. Like he would have to prick his finger a lot and be testing his blood sugar. Well, they then came up with these little contraptions that you could wear that it was a continuous glucose monitor. So it was continually checking your blood sugar basically every 15 minutes to be able to make sure you are within range. And I don't exactly know when it became a thing that like someone who wasn't a diabetic could get, but in the last few years, I've known of people that have gotten them and I've always been a little intrigued, but it wasn't until my functional medicine doctor highly encouraged me to do it. Some of it was because I had a little bit of some of my levels were off that could point to me being close to being pre-diabetic. But she also thought that that could be just related to me not taking care of myself. And so she wanted me to do this, one, because of those numbers, but two, also because the biggest thing was that she's really trying to help me to figure out how to get my brain and my body to be connected. And so she felt like that me having something that was giving me this real-time data would be very helpful for me to be more in tune to my activity and my the way I'm nourishing my body is really impacting my body. And so she gave us some different ones to research. You do not have to have a prescription. There are some that are specifically for people who are not diabetic. It is the exact, basically the exact same type of monitor, but the data that you get is different. Mm-hmm. So like the software for the monitor is different. It's basically like you have a phone, but it's a different kind of app on the phone. Would that be like a way to say it? It's like the both.
Yeah, it's not as in depth because the other one's a medical device and this is not a medical device.
Yes. And so the data that someone who is diabetic is getting is specifically for a diabetic person. Like they're going to need to know specific things. They will have like alarms that will go right off and all of that. Whereas like this, it's just going to pop up on my phone and tell me like, it's not going to sound some big alarm in the middle right of the night or something, like, because there's not going to be some disastrous thing that's going to happen if my blood sugar is rising or that sort of thing. So you can then, we got mine for 3 months and we went with Stello is the name of the device. And it's through Signos. We found out later that Oura Ring actually has, like, you can get one that is connected with your Oura Ring. I believe Stello can connect your Oura Ring, but we just went with, she gave us three different options and we researched those and just went with this one because honestly, this was the easiest, like, most accessible one to be able to get. Some of them, you had to go through quite a few steps to be able to qualify or whatever, and this one wasn't. So cost-wise, a lot of people have written in to me when I've talked about it on Instagram and been like, oh, wow, those things are so expensive. If you are diabetic and you have the diabetic-specific continuous glucose monitor, it is a much, much, much more expensive. We're talking thousands of dollars. But in
order, you're dealing with insurance too.
Yes. And you have to have a prescription and all of that. So these, you can, the program that we went with, like I said, it was Stello by Signos. It's $139 a month. And I was getting chiropractic treatment and paying more than $139 a month for my chiropractic treatment. And I paused that right now. And so for me, the data that I am learning from it and only doing it as a short-term thing, I feel like is very, very worth doing this for 3 months. For some people, that might not be worth it. But for me, what I'm gleaning from it has been so, so helpful. If you know of other places online where you could get them for less than that, I'd love to hear. We only researched the places that the functional medicine doctor recommended just because I wanted to make sure it was like a very legit sort of thing. Because, you know, you can order pretty much anything off the internet.
Right.
But I wanted to make sure it was something that like had credibility. And so a lot of people asked me about installing it. Like, what was that like? And I was really not sure what to expect. I can't imagine doing it myself. I know lots of people who wear them who are diabetic do it themselves all the time, but you wear it in your like upper
tricep,
back of your arm. And like, I can't barely even see back there. And so it was helpful for you to put it in, but it was very easy to put right in. And it kind of felt like it sort of clips in is kind of how it felt. Like you punch it in and it kind of reminded me of like the sound of when you get your ears pierced and they have that gun. Well, yeah. if you go to like Claire's that we did and they like do the gun in your ear, it kind of felt like that. Only obviously it wasn't, that will then hurt afterwards. And this really, it just felt like it was that initial kind of like a tiny little sting, and then it was done. So it was very simple. There's not a needle in your arm. It's like, I need to explain it better how it is, but, and it's not testing your blood. Okay, let me do this because I researched this. Now I got to read it. Continuous glucose monitor. So it inserts a tiny flexible sensor filament just under the skin. And so the needle retracts immediately. So the needle does go in and inserts this little sensor, but then it pulls out. So it's not like you're wearing a needle in your arm. So I thought, like, I assumed, like, oh, it was a needle in your arm at all times. Like, I was thinking, like,
yeah,
a little bit like an IV or something. You know what I mean? Not like that level. But, like, when I saw people wearing them, that's what I assumed it was. No, it's like a tiny little sensor.
So the thing that we saw that was bent, because when we had when we took yours off, it looked a little like a, not L-shaped, but like a greater than, less than symbol, whatever.
But teeny, teeny tiny. Teeny. Like you could barely see it.
Yeah, you had to look really hard to see it.
Yes.
So that was actually the sensor filament.
Yes. And okay. It's not actually in your blood. It's like in the
muscle.
Yeah, it's like the liquid around it or something like that. Somebody who is much more scientific can explain this more, but it's very fascinating. I put a patch, you can put a patch or no patch. We did a patch because if you sweat a lot, if you do a lot of workouts or something like that, they recommend that. And then you're just going to put the little continuous glucose monitor on top of that. And it held really well. And then there was like this piece of tape basically that you put over it that they gave us. And I was very surprised. Like I wondered, oh, when I, you know, put my shirt on or take my shirt off or like work out or whatever, was I going to knock it? Was it going to bother me? Was it going to hurt me? Like I didn't know what to expect. And I very quickly forgot it was there. Like just didn't even notice it. Now I think if it was in the summer, like because it was, you know, it's cold. And so you're wearing long sleeves and more, I feel like most of my winter shirts are like a little bit baggier and that sort of thing. So you're not even seeing it underneath. But if it were hot outside and you were wearing like, you know, a lot of tank tops or something like that, obviously it would be more noticeable. And maybe like, I think that might bother me a little bit just because like you would see it and I would just, I don't know, like that might bother me. But I think the winter and colder months are the best time to wear it because you don't even notice that it's there. Mine lasted for 9 days. They're supposed to last for, I mean, it says like 7 to 14 days. I think mine, I slept on it kind of weird, had a child next to me in bed, and I think it got knocked.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because then it told me the next day, like, it's not, you need to replace it because it's not, it's no longer basically monitoring it. And I think what it was is then that little filament had actually like knocked out. And I could feel it then, like as soon as, like when I woke up in the morning, I was like, something feels weird. It feels like a little pinprick or something in my arm. And this feels a little bit uncomfortable. Like what's going on? And then I picked up my phone to look at the monitor thing and it said, oh, it's not sensing anymore. You need to replace your continuous glucose monitor. And so I was like, okay, that's what it is. It was very easy to take off too. That was another thing we weren't sure of. Super easy to take off. And so that whole process was so simple.
Amoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Amoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved Amoire, and I have to tell you, one of the favorite things of Amoire for me has been that it can help you to define your personal style. I'm not someone who automatically just knows, oh, this and this and this goes together and will look great on my body type. I love how they pick items for you based upon your style, based upon your size. And then you get to look on there and be like, which one of these do I think I'd like to try out? You're not buying it, you're trying it. And so I've tried out a lot of different styles that I usually wouldn't because I'm just renting it. And here is the interesting thing. I have discovered some styles that I never would have that I've fallen in love with. In fact, I have a pair of overalls and a pair of jeans that I have gotten from Amour that became part of my wardrobe that I kept because I loved them so, so much. And to this day, I wear that pair of jeans multiple times a week and I wear that pair of overalls. If you follow me on Instagram, you know the pair of overalls I'm talking about, but probably once or twice every single week. And so this helps you to be able to try some new things without spending the money on them that you typically would because they're such high quality products. And if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for your body type, if it doesn't work for your style, you can send it right back. Right now, my listeners can give Amour a try and get up to 60% off their first month. That's up to $150 off. Just visit amour.style/crystal. That is amour.style, amour.style/crystal to get up to 60% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amour today.
What was so interesting is I fully expected that I was going to have major spikes. Like I have always thought that I had like low blood sugar and that I would like have these blood sugar basically
imbalances
because I would feel it's not uncommon for me to just feel like really woozy and that sort of thing. Now, since I have significantly upped my calorie intake and am eating a lot more protein, those have been much, much, much less. Like I used to feel that a lot. So it would be very interesting to me, like if I had worn one years ago when I was feeling that often, like oftentimes multiple times a day, at least once a day, like I would have like a big crash where it's like, I would have to go lay down because I was so like woozy and needed to eat.
So your high protein diet has fixed that?
Yes, for the most part. And if I don't, the thing that is so interesting to me is that if I don't eat, like you've seen me do this, like every once in a while, let's say on Wednesday, like Wednesdays, I oftentimes will have back-to-back interviews. And I used to, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to have three interviews back-to-back. And so it'd be like, 3.5, sometimes 4 hours of just like really on. And I figured out that that was just like too much for me because I would be at the end of that, I would just be so exhausted and so like hungry and famished and all that, that I'd have to go lay down for 20 or 30 minutes because I felt woozy. And so we've actually changed it where basically, I never have more than 2 back-to-back interviews now, which has been, and same thing for meetings. Like I don't basically ever do more than 2 hours of like very focused, intense, like that sort of thing. And so because of that change, then that allows me to make sure that like I'm eating very consistently. If I eat a good breakfast, usually try to get in at least 40 grams of protein for breakfast. And I find that that makes such a difference for me, especially with working out early in the morning. Like I need a really good breakfast. And so when I put it on, like I just fully expected it was going to be all over the place. Like I was going to get all these readings that were like really bad. I don't know. I think just because I told myself like I just probably have blood sugar issues or whatever. And I was shocked that my blood sugar is really stable. Now, I will say this is one thing. When I had it on, I very quickly discovered that I've had it off for a few days. We're getting ready to put another one on today. But I very quickly discovered that I didn't snack in between meals on carbs. And here's why, is because I figured out that if I only ate carbs, like they, you know, people say this, but like to actually see the data, if I would just eat carbs, like, which would be so common for me to like grab a granola bar, grab a muffin, something like that. Like, oh, I'm hungry and I need a quick snack, which I'm like, you're like, it's a granola bar, or it's a homemade muffin, whatever. That would absolutely spike my blood sugar. But if I were to grab carrots and turkey or something like that, no, like everything would be completely
so eat your
stable.
Protein first.
Well, then,
and it doesn't affect your
don't eat carbs by themselves. That's the first thing that I really discovered. Like, the only exception for that is if you're going to do a hardcore workout. So like in the mornings, I eat half a banana before I go do my workout at the gym. And yes, you would see, like, I usually do it, like eat it like 15 to 20 minutes before my workout. So like you see the monitor and it's like starting to spike. But as long as I started my workout within 15 or 20 minutes and it was like a good workout, then it would stabilize right away. Like, and it wouldn't fully spike. It would just like, it was going up. And then as soon as you start workout, it goes back down and it stabilizes. So you can eat carbs by themselves as long as you're going to go do a hardcore workout. If you're not, your blood sugar, at least for me, is going to spike. So it's very fascinating to see the direct correlation between moving your body and stabilizing your blood sugar. Also the direct correlation between only eating carbs and your blood sugar. In the opposite direction. Like, that's a negative. Moving your body is a positive. But then the very interesting thing that I discovered was, I guess for me, I always thought like, oh, as long as you have 30 grams of carbs or more per meal, like that's going to stabilize your blood sugar. Like, is that kind of what you've heard? Have you heard that?
No.
Oh. Okay. You've not heard like protein helps stabilize your blood sugar.
Well, I've heard that.
Okay.
But not necessarily.
I just equated it to be like, oh, you have like a good balance of macros for a meal and that's going to stabilize your blood sugar. Well, here was the very interesting thing I discovered, at least for my body. If I ate the carbs first, which I have a tendency, like I love carbs. I love bread. I love muffins. I love carbs. And so I would tend to, if it's on my plate, you know, it's like a lot of times I would have like, let's say like chicken and like veggies and, you know,
bread.
Like sourdough. Usually it's like sourdough with butter. I would go for the sourdough first because it's just like quick carbs. Like I'm hungry. And then I'd like
eat the chicken. Plus you just like sourdough.
I just love sourdough. Yes. Well, if I would do that, then my blood sugar would spike. And so the only way to stabilize that is if you would go walk right away. But if I ate the chicken first and then ate the sourdough, my blood sugar would be stable.
Huh. Okay.
So it was just a very interesting thing. So now it's like really impacted like my choices of like not snacking on just carbs and eating the protein first. And knowing if I am going to snack on carbs and carbs only, I better be going and planning to go move my body because if I want to stabilize my blood sugar. So, but the interesting thing was that as long as I did those things, so as long as I had like was moving my body well, eating a lot of protein, eating the protein first, I could go throughout a whole day without having any blood sugar spikes. And I thought that was super cool. Like I was very excited.
Yeah, you were really geeking out about it.
I was geeking out about it. Yes, I'm very, very, it's so funny because the last few days I haven't had the monitor on. It was because I was sick and I was just like, I'm not going to put it on. But I haven't had it on and I realized, oh, like, I'm like, oh, I can eat this because I don't have to like look at the data that's going to tell me. Like
I ate three muffins yesterday. Is it really happening?
I'm like, but it was just interesting because it was like, I ate three muffins yesterday and I was like, they tasted really good. But then I did not feel well, you know, it was like over the course of like the afternoon and evening, I like I ate three banana chocolate chip muffins and I was like, I don't feel well. Like this is not, you know.
I wonder how that would correlate with if you were to have the Kodiak pancakes. So would that count for carbs or protein?
Well, okay. So here was an interesting thing. if I did carbs and protein mixed together, like one of the things that I like to do is Greek yogurt with protein powder mixed in with granola on top. If I did that, because I was a high protein content, because that together is like 35 to 40-ish, depending on how big of a serving of grams of protein. It was mixed together. It was like, that would work. It was just, if I had eaten just the granola by itself, that would spike my blood sugar.
And did you compare different carbs, like a high glycemic carb versus a low glycemic carb?
So one thing I didn't do, and people told me that vegetables should not spike your blood sugar.
Right.
Now I'm wondering about like carrots or something, because I do feel like carrots have a high sugar content. So I haven't, these are some things I need to geek out on that I haven't done yet.
Like a banana, which is a high glycemic, versus like a sourdough, which would be a more of a low glycemic.
Both of them spiked my blood sugar.
Okay.
So, I mean, the banana, as long as I went and worked out, I was fine. But had I just sat there, no, I wouldn't have been fine.
What if you had the banana after the protein?
That would be fine. You just had to eat the protein first. So, okay. And you had to eat a sizable amount of protein. And obviously, all these things that I'm saying, this is just for my body. This is my body.
Did that sourdough have honey on it?
No, just sourdough with butter. If I ate it first. And also you have to remember, like, so it would be like, oh, I hadn't eaten for at least 2.5 or 3 hours, because sure, it'd be lunchtime. So it's kind of like, that's the first thing that you're putting into your body. And like 15 minutes later, you'd just see it. The other thing that I noticed is that I tend to eat and sit, and I didn't realize how much I do that. Uh-huh. And some of that I realized is also because I oftentimes, like, there's a lot going on, and by the time I eat, I'm pretty hungry. And so it's like, you just want to sit there and just like enjoy the meal because you're hungry. And then you just kind of sit there, like, and that would also not be good, because especially like, obviously if I ate the carbs first, because then moving your body, like getting up and moving your body, as soon as I would get up, and even just like walk up and down the stairs a few times, or walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes or whatever, like you would see a direct correlation to that stabilizing your blood sugar. And so, you know, you often hear like, get up and move, take a 10-minute walk after every meal. And I was like, there is definitely, at least for me and what I'm seeing on the monitor, like there's some definite wisdom in doing that. And so I think for me, it was the thing of like, okay, start my meals with protein. And try to plan that you're going to eat a meal at a time that you would be able to get up and move afterwards. Because like when I plan my schedule and stuff, usually I'm planning my meals when it's, I mean, this is terrible, but it's like, it'll be like, oh, okay, so I have the two meetings there on Zoom, and then I can eat my lunch while I work on this project. And then you're just sitting there, you're working, you're eating, and you're not really thinking about the food or anything like that. You're just working. And I realized there would be a lot of wisdom. And we talked about my fun list, and I was talking about like wanting to walk more. And I was thinking, you know, planning my meals around like not pairing like my lunch with, oh, this work project, but pairing my lunch with, oh, let me read a little bit of the book, and then let me get up and go take a quick walk. And so there was just a lot of things that I learned from it, and I'm excited to try. Like, as soon as we put it back in, like one of the things that I really want to test out is, what do vegetables do? And also I realized I don't eat a whole lot of vegetables. And that, I mean, it's the time of year where I feel like it's harder to eat vegetables, but like I don't, you know, people were asking me like, oh, about vegetables and stuff. And I realized I do eat them, but I don't, it's not like I eat, you know, huge servings of vegetables at every meal. And so, that's something that, well, one, I just need to do a better job of, but then two, I want to test that out and see, like, if I were to eat the vegetables first and then eat the protein, would that spike my blood sugar? Because vegetables are like,
right,
some are carbs. Mm-hmm. Or are they, I mean, they're supposed to be where it they don't spike your blood sugar, but I'm curious to see, like, would carrots spike them, but would broccoli not? There are some people on Instagram. There's one in particular, a guy, I need to figure out what his handle is. If I figure it out, we'll put it in the show notes, but you can probably search for something along with glucose. But he does where he shows his plate and then he will show like the order of what he, how he's eating his food. And then he'll show what his glucose monitor looks like. And then he'll eat like the first day he'll eat the vegetables first. And then the next day he'll eat the meat first. Like he'll eat the same thing every day for lunch in a row, but he'll start with a different food on his plate. Hmm. And then he shows how it impacts his blood sugar. So I just, that was a thing that I never have thought of before. I just assumed if you're eating it all at the same meat, the same time in the same meal, like, and by the same time, I mean like in the same 30, 40 minute window, it all just combines together and it stabilizes your blood sugar. But no, sure, it actually does matter the order that you eat your food. And so little tweaks like that, where it's like, oh, just choose to go to the protein first, simple tweak, or just choose to get up and move your body for 2 or 5 minutes after you eat, simple tweak. But like those things can make a big, big difference. So that's all I've got for you. If you've got questions, I'd love to hear what they are. Can't promise that I have answers because I'm still learning, but there were so many winning questions that I hope that this is helpful for anyone who is considering doing something like this, or that you can just, I can be your guinea pig and you can learn from me, and then you don't even have to wear the monitor. You can just pick up the tips and hopefully that it helps you. But I would say absolutely, me eating, I mean, I aim for 130 grams of protein a day, and I would say that that has made a massive difference. I think if I were back at the where I used to eat like 40 grams of protein a day, I think my blood sugar would have been spiking all over the place. But now that I'm doing that, I think it was just really encouraging for me to see like, oh, these health changes really do impact my body. So it's been a great experience. I'd love to hear from you. If you have worn a continuous glucose monitor before, what have you learned from it? Would you disagree with anything that I said? Feel free to let me know. I love to learn because I am just still exploring this. I hope you're staying safe and warm and keep your power on, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.